Welcome back to Gaelic Games Fan TV. It's the football review show on a Sunday evening. The football action has just finished. It's just come to its conclusion. And myself and Matthew Hurley from the Gaelic Statsman podcast are here to break it down, discuss all the weekend's games, discuss all the weekend's talking points. Probably a weekend that didn't really have too much storylines or too much shocks or surprises. Obviously, last weekend, there was plenty of talking points. There was a lot to break down. I think this weekend really went the way a lot of people expected it. Dublin beat Meath very, very comfortably in Croke Park. Obviously, saying to Matthew, not long in the door. So we'll be breaking that game down. Louth obviously got a big win versus Wexford. Big wins for Kildare as well. I think that maybe was the biggest talking point of the weekend, the Kildare and Wicklow game, because it definitely went down to the wire. And Wicklow had a big, big opportunity right at the end to win it. And obviously wins for the likes of Offaly, Armagh, and of course Down as well. So we'll be discussing all six games. Matthew, maybe not a brilliant weekend of championship football action, but nonetheless, we have to get these games over and done with at some point, and at least they're over and done with now.
Exactly, and yeah, thanks for having me on again, Aaron. Yeah, I suppose, like, look at the championship this week, like, I watched, it was actually a weekend where the Camogie was much better, and it's great to see, obviously, final stories with Dublin beating Wexford and Tipperary beating Galway, their first league title in 20 years. And it was funny, actually, yesterday I watched two games, Dublin and Wexford in the Camogie and Down in Antrim in the football. And Wexford and Dublin, I was on the edge of my seat. It was late winners, there was drama, there was goalmouth drama. It was just brilliant for the game of Camogie all around. Then Down in Antrim comes at 6 o'clock. And to be honest, I regretted that decision, Aaron, because I could have easily gone for sleep. Then I'm sorry, like, that was just poor football. Like, Antrim, I think there was a bit of fight at the start of it. I think we'll talk about it in a bit, but there was a fight after the parade. I'm thinking, okay, this could be a feisty Ulster Championship tie, but it just never got going. And the weekend's games never really got going either, other than that late shenanigans in the Wicklow Kildare game, Meath at Dublin. To be fair, Meath acquitted themselves well the first half, but then as soon as Paul Mannion's goal went in, I was turning off air. It seemed like the atmosphere just died after that. And I've seen Bernard Flynn's tweet about the game as well, taking a video of the Croke Park crowd. It looked pretty, pretty dead. And it looked actually that the atmosphere was worse, actually, than the Camogie game, which you don't really see unusual suspects on TV. So, yeah, it was just a weekend that you want to get over and done with. But then again, you look at the games next week. You have Derry Donegal next week. You have Mayo Roscommon. You have Limerick against Clare. So you just be looking forward to next weekend. Look, this weekend, just brush under the carpet and move on.
Absolutely. Yeah, like, I was a little bit late getting into Croke Park, like, a few minutes late. I was watching the Kildare Wicklow game and did a match reaction and everything else. So I was a little bit late leaving. But yeah, like, going into Croke Park, you could see there was a lot of fans leaving. And I did overhear a few of them say how good, you know, the games were and everything else. So we might touch on the Camogie action maybe a little bit later on. Certainly a lot of talking points there. But look, we'll start with the game in Croke Park. Dublin 3-19, Meath 12 points. Usually do a match reaction after the games, but since we're doing this show at 7:30, I figured we'll combine the two into one. Yeah, look, overall, Dublin's performance, I thought, was in the first half very sloppy, very poor. Opening 20 minutes were a little bit bizarre. It was 3 points apiece. Meath definitely started the better. I think they kicked the opening two scores of the game. You know, you're getting a few flashbacks maybe of Dublin and Kildare last year in the Leinster semi-final, watching that first half. Dublin just really reluctant to shoot, overplaying the ball. Cluxton, I thought, actually had quite a poor game, which is very unusual. His kickouts were quite poor, which you don't really see. So maybe a bit of rustiness there from his point of view. But look, all in all, Dublin pulled away in the second half once all the goals obviously started flying in. And yeah, atmosphere-wise, not the best game. I think that goes without question. I think anyone who wasn't on the hill, you know, probably had a few spare seats beside them, because that was how it looked anyway from the stands. But yeah, commanding victory for Dublin, albeit, once again, a Dublin-Meath game that certainly won't live up to the ages or go down in the ages.
It looked like Meath were going to put it up to them, especially in that first half, but then, as soon as the Mannion goal went in, as I mentioned there, just the atmosphere died. To be fair, like, Meath deserve a bit of credit. Like, how they set up in the first half, they frustrated Dublin, and we were questioning during the week what way would actually Meath set up. Would they go defensive? Would they go attacking? They kind of went with a bit of both. They pushed up on Cluxton's kickouts, and to be fair, like, Cluxton did perform poorly, but that was really down to Meath just pushing up on them. But then in the second half, honestly, I don't think it was throwing in the towel or downing tools or whatever. I don't think it was just tiredness from a Meath point of view. I just think they're not at the fitness level of where they want to be. And Colm O'Rourke, probably, I listened to him in the post-match interview afterwards, and he was kind of downbeat about the second half more in particular. Like, the first half, he was very, very positive. He was saying that they got in Dublin's faces, and that was what their plan was going up to Croke Park. But yeah, just in the second half, it kind of all fell down. But then, even on the Sunday game, like, I was watching it on RT2, and Lee Keegan and Kieran Whelan were talking about it, and in many other games, including, you know, the other championship games and Camogie and LGFA, you'd be talking about how the game went and the man of the match performances and things like that. For Paul Mannion to get man of the match, they were just basically, Lee Keegan was just saying, could have chosen anybody really, but we're going to choose Paul Mannion, 1-6 on the day. But then again, the championship structures is all wrong. Like, that was what this game was all about. It was about championship structures. It wasn't about the game, which was kind of a shame. It was kind of a disrespect, in my opinion, to Meath, who made a good show of us and Merlis in the first half. They just aren't up to the level yet. But look, Dublin absolutely pummeled them in the second half. And yeah, I suppose we'll have to go into the championship structures, Aaron, because a load of other podcasters and particularly the people on the Sunday game are doing it anyway.
Yeah, yeah, we might maybe touch on the Dublin Meath rivalry maybe as a whole. Like Shawnee says, watching Dublin Meath along for the days when he had a dirty, cynical game between them back in the 80s and 90s. Shawnee also says the game should have been a Navan. Yeah, 100% it should have been. And looking at the crowd, you know, obviously the attendance, you know, factors in everyone who was at the Camogie as well. So I don't know what the attendance was overall. To be honest, they didn't call out the attendance.
I think I heard, Aaron, it was 21,000 and something.
Really? For the whole thing?
That's what I heard on the Sunday game anyway. I might be wrong now, but that's what I heard.
Wow, yeah, yeah. I mean, to be fair, they didn't look like there was 21,000 in Croke Park when I was there, but it was just one of them where I just presumed so many people left, you know, like, obviously after the Camogie action. So, yeah, like, that's quite, because they didn't call it out in Croke Park, I don't think, which usually they do.
Probably the reason why.
Yeah, yeah. So that probably tells you why. Usually they do call out the attendance, but they didn't for whatever reason. But yeah, look, I mean, like, it was weird because Dublin won the game by, what, 16 points. And I don't even think Dublin got out of third gear. Like, I don't even think they played that well. Like, the first half was really sloppy, really poor. They got a couple of late goals. Obviously, Conor Callaghan gets himself a goal and 2 points. Paul Mannion with 1-6. Sean Bugler with a very good goal in the first half. But yeah, like, it certainly wasn't Dublin's best overall performance, which is a little bit bizarre because you beat one of your biggest rivals by 16 points. And I'm sitting here being like, I don't think Dublin were actually at their best. They, you know, and to be fair to Meath, as you said, Meath do deserve credit because in the first half, they gave Dublin a good run for their money. They had a couple of, you know, a couple of big chances, and scoring wise, I thought they were quite impressive. In the second half, yeah, they probably kept the ball too much in large parts, but they also looked very content and actually quite happy when they were 7 or 8 points down, and they looked almost like we'll accept this now. Like, there wasn't really they didn't really look like they were going to push up and try and go after it, which you don't blame them, because if they had done that, they could have lost by even more. So yeah, it was just a very strange feeling at the game. And, you know, to be honest, there was a portion of Meath fans at the back of the hill who were singing, and fair play to them. They had a few funny chants and whatnot. But yeah, overall, like, it was, I don't know, like, they didn't look like there was many Meath fans there, and I don't blame them, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I probably don't either. And going back to Shawnee's comment there about the game being part talent, and I talked about this during the week as well, and yeah, it should have been, no doubt about it. I actually don't know the reason why the game got moved to Croke Park. I think the only reason it honestly got moved to Croke Park was because of the Camogie, and the Camogie trying to gain more revenue and things like that. But to be honest, like, even without the Dublin and Meath game, I think you still would have had the drama that you got in the Galway-Tipperary game. So I don't think that was an excuse whatsoever. And it was great that Tipperary got their win in the end. And honestly, this Meath Dublin game needed to be in Park Tolleson. It needed a bit of life into it. It needed a tight crowd. It needed the crowd to get on their back. It needed a Meath team that would punch Dublin back, basically. And I think this Meath team are capable of doing that. Conor O'Rourke has instilled a bit of confidence into them, in a way, in Division 2 and the game against Longford. But they needed like a stadium that would suit them, a Park Tolleson. The crowd will get in their back, a Port Leash as well. And they just didn't have that. Like, Croke Park, you could basically hear the seagulls, I'd imagine. Aaron. Obviously, I was watching the TV over there. You probably would have heard the seagulls there. That was exactly what happens, apparently. So you know, that was the way for the game. And it was just a shame. And even Lee Keegan, before the game, was even talking about the potential Dublin and Meath rivalry and things like that. And Lee Keegan just said straight up, this isn't the rivalry. And I think, honestly, that was hurt Meath fans. It would hurt them. And I think Meath fans would want this to be a rivalry again. I think every GAA fan would want this to be a rivalry again. But for that to happen, we need something extraordinary in something like a stadium like in Park Tolleson, where the crowd is tight, where the pitch is tight, where Meath would basically give it to Dublin at every opportunity. So, yeah, I honestly don't get why the game was on at Croke Park. I think it was a missed opportunity, as I said in my tweet during the week. And yeah, that's all I have to say about it. It was just a poor decision, really, from the Leinster Council to play this game at Croke Park. And to this day, I actually don't know why. Like, even Davey Rispin was saying during the week to you that apparently the stand isn't the reason why Meath backed out of it. So, like, I honestly don't know what was the initial reasoning for going to Croke Park, because I can't find any substantial reason why it got moved to HQ.
Yeah, like it is a bit of a mad one. Like, and I was just looking at it there. Like, Park Tolleson obviously holds 11,000, Port Leash 27,000. They definitely, like, you know, like, because how many were actually there for the Dublin and Meath game? It might have even been under 11,000. So they might have actually just been better off. They probably actually would have generated more revenue that way. And even if they had moved it to Port Leash or Tullamore, I know maybe that's a little bit unusual because you have both sets of fans travelling outside the county. But I actually think more people would have went. Like, I know plenty of Dublin fans who didn't go to this game. But I think if it was in Navan or Tullamore or Port Leash, I think they probably would have went, because, you know, us Dubs, as much as, you know, everyone slags us for not, you know, travelling and not going to games, I think a lot of us actually love going to games. We love away games and everything else. It is a great bit of crack and everything else. So it is a massive shame. And fairness, JPG or JPC was saying, get these games out of Croke Park, market our games better, make them attractive to go to. It is a fair point, in fairness. And yeah, like what you were saying about what Lee Keegan said about the Dublin Meath rivalry and saying it's dead and everything else. And I was kind of thinking on the way home as I was walking back from Croke Park, like, what needs to happen for the Dublin Meath rivalry to come back? Or is it just going to be like this now forever? Because, you know, like, through the 90s, through the 2000s, Dublin and Meath games were absolute classics. I remember going to the Dublin Meath game in 2006, the game that went to a replay. And funnily enough, actually, when I was chatting to Davey Rispin, as you were saying, from the We Are Meath podcast during the week, He asked me the question, what's your greatest memory from Dublin and Meath? And to be honest, I nearly struggled to answer, because, like, there's been a lot of great wins. And don't get me wrong, some of the when a few of the early demolitions came along, you know, in 2016 or 2015, some of them were quite enjoyable, don't get me wrong. But after a while, then it's just starting to get ridiculous, you know, that way. Like, I think if you start beating your rivals 10, 15 points every year, then it sort of loses its value. So yeah, like, I think the Dublin Meath rivalry, like, I know Meath have regressed as well. I do think that should be mentioned. Obviously, they have regressed quite a bit over the last 10, 12, 15 years. Dublin have obviously been at their absolute best as well. So I think both of those two reasons are very much intertwined. But I do think at the same time, something probably does need to be done in terms of changing up the Leinster Championship ever so slightly to try and fix this. Because, you know, if we're sat here in another 10 years talking about this, then before we know it, like, the Dublin Meath rivalry will be a myth. It will be a legend. It will be something that will be mentioned to grandkids and then be laughed at, you know, that way. So, they need to look at it.
And to be honest, it's the same for rivalries that were historic in the past and have lost all relevance now. Like, even looking at Dublin and Kildare, like, that's kind of gone out of fashion now. I know Kildare had that win in Newbridge, but in the league, but Dublin seemed to, you know, ease past victory in that game. Cork and Kerry's the same thing. And I go back to this argument. This, a childish argument to this would be to say Dublin banned them for money and banned them for Croke Park and things like that. I think it honestly has to go down to the Meads, the Kildares, the Corks of this world to improve better. Because I think there's no secret that those three counties have regressed massively over the last few seasons, especially the likes of Meath and Cork. To be fair, Kildare, they were Division 1 a couple of seasons ago and competed well in that division. But for Meath, I do think they're making strides to become a better team. But yes, they won the Tadson Cup last season. But why were they in the Tadson Cup in the first place? Because of poor performances in years gone by. And yes, they won the competition, but that's a good start. They need more building blocks. And Colm O'Rourke, I think, knows that. I think he knows it. And I do think there's still some young players. There is still some potential there in Meath. Like, there was still some good performances today, despite the big beating. Owen French shot well today. I think Jordan Morris scored 3 points from play. Keane McBride came on and did very well in midfield. Matthew Costello was a colossal at times in the game today. But I think it goes down to more strength and conditioning, better improvement for Meath. And ultimately, I do think it would work if they keep Colm O'Rourke in the job, if they keep Trevor Giles in around him, the panel, if they keep Sean Boylan in around him, the atmosphere as well. I do think Meath will come back to prominence one day. But it will take time. There's no doubt it will take time for me to come back to it. But Dublin, it's unfortunate for me to Kildare because Dublin seem to be getting better. Like you look at their performance today, they were in second or third gear and they absolutely was the victory. And that's the honest truth of it. And it's we're going to have the same conversation next week when Cork and Kerry face each other in Killarney. We're going to have the same conversation about the Munster Championship, is the rivalry date and stuff like that. And honestly, I just think it takes these sorts of counties sleeping giants more than anything to gain more improvement in the next few years. Starting off with having this game in Partalton, that would have ignited something in the rivalry at least. If you keep these games in Croke Park, then you're just going to let this rivalry die of death. And low crowds, low attendances, less of an atmosphere. Like, that's going to kill the rivalry as well. So, I honestly think it goes down to the counties that are struggling more than the counties that are doing well at the moment. The counties are doing well. Look, it's not their fault. It's not Dublin and Kerry's fault. It's the faults of these counties that historically did well, but are now struggling. And more infrastructure needs to be put in. More of the right people have to be behind the scenes as well. And more young talent coming through. The likes of Keane McBride, Matthew Costello, Owen Frayne need to develop in years to come as well. And even in the first half, like, there was some bright sparks from youngsters. Like Adam O'Neill at full back, I thought was good enough in the first half. I thought he held well against that Dublin full forward line. But then the fitness, the fatigue just caught up with him. And that will improve in the next few years. Like Adam O'Neill, I think, is, what, 20, 21 years of age? He will improve in the next few seasons. Owen Frayne's only 20. You've Jordan Morris still in his early 20s. You've Matthew Costello still in college with DCU. There are some good young players in Meath, but it only takes a matter of time for them to develop even more. But I think it would have been a great opportunity, honestly, Aaron, to have this game in Partalton. Why the Leinster Council decided to put it in Croke Park, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think the problem as well is, like, you have a young Meath team there, but, like, there could be a lot of them lads at the start of next year that might be like, well, what's the point? Do you know, like, going into the Leinster Championship again, doing the same thing over and over. And Meath's team probably has changed quite a lot over the last couple of years. There has been a lot of players that have come in and out. Obviously, Colm O'Rourke has built sort of a new team very much from scratch, really, since he's come in. You think back to Kildare, their side has changed quite a bit over the years. So it is an issue, all right. And I think the big problem, like, a lot of the time is because of the fact that attendances in Croke Park were so good in the 2000s. Like, you know, you used to get 60,000 to 70,000 in Croke Park throughout those years in the Leinster Championship, and it was, you know, packed to the brim. And you don't really have any other stadiums in Leinster that can accommodate really those kind of crowds. And even say, for example, 21,000 today, like, the only probably stadiums that could accommodate that in Leinster are probably, what, Portlaoise, Tullamore, maybe. Like, Partalton's obviously 11,000. So that's probably what they're looking at. That's what they're thinking of. They're thinking of, you know, we'll get 25,000 in. The atmosphere will be terrible, but we'll generate more revenue. So, you know, that's the most important thing to them at the end of the day. So, you know, it's but the thing is that the attendances are just going to shrink and shrink and shrink to the point where, you know, there's going to be nobody going to the games, or, you know, a couple of thousand or whatever. So, yeah, it's just it is a little bit mad. Era says here, scrap Leinster Championship. What the F is the point? It's just training for Dublin. Absolutely pointless. Shawnee says a big football county like Meath need to be better. Look what Derry are doing with much smaller population. Look, and that is a fair point as well. Do you know, like, I mean, look at Monaghan. What they've, I know they've had a poor enough year this year, but look what they've achieved in the past. It can be done. Maybe beating Dublin and Leinster and maybe challenging Dublin for All-Irelands will be very, very difficult. But you can certainly get up. You know, you can certainly improve the level. You can certainly make a fist of it and make these games more competitive. But it probably isn't easy when you do keep having these games every year, in fairness. But just getting back to Era's point here about scrapping the Leinster Championship, I was kind of thinking of this on the way home as well. Let's say tomorrow the Leinster Championship was scrapped. Would there be anyone that would actually be outraged? I don't know if there would be, to be honest.
As of the Leinster Championship, in the situation that it is right now, I don't think there'll be any outrage, no. At the same time, there is still that nostalgic feel about the Leinster Championship, with Laois winning it, with Westmeath winning it, with Meath winning it, with Louth almost winning it, but for you know, a certain incident happening. I'll leave that off this podcast. Kildare winning it in 2000 was a brilliant memory as well. These are the memories that we cling on to for the provincial championships, and it'll be the same. Like, to be honest, I think we're questioning Leinster and Munster. They're the two that we're questioning. What is the point of these championships? We know the end results of what's going to happen. Dublin and Kerry are going to win it. I think the honest thing that we're clinging on to with the provincial championships is, number one, the shock results. What we had last week with Waterford beating Tipperary, with Wicklow beating Westmeath. I think Lee Keegan and Kieran Whelan touched on the Sunday game and before the game today. And then number two, you have Connacht and you have Ulster, who are two very competitive provinces. And it'd be interesting actually to see if Sligo could put it up to Galway next week. If Sligo could put it up to Galway, not necessarily win the game, but if they could close within five points of Galway next week, would there be outrage about Meath's performance today? So that's maybe a question that we'll have to think about next week. But look, it's... I don't think they'd be outraged considering the stuff that's in place right now. But all it takes is for one decision to change everything. And I think the key decision for this, and I keep emphasising the point, have these quarterfinals outside Croke Park. Because it's just going to make it easier for Dublin. Having it Park Tads and another venue, actually, Nolan Park in Kilkenny. I know Kilkenny's not a football county, but it's actually a decent ground. I've been there before. It actually has three stands and one terrace, which is very unusual for a GAA ground, but it's more like a soccer ground. It's actually really, really good. And it's really good infrastructures and stuff like that. Why can't Leinster Championship games be there? And why can't they be in Tullamore or Portlaoise, or that are well-capable venues as well? I've been to those venues. They're probably one of the best venues I've ever been to as a GAA fan. So why aren't Leinster games on in those venues for quarterfinals and semifinals? That's where they should be. Not Croke Park, because it just makes it easier for Dublin to waltz over every opposition that they face there. So I think that's a starting point for the Leinster Council. Have games outside of the final, outside of Croke Park. That's what the hurling are doing. And the hurling are actually doing well enough at promoting the game in fairness. Like Galway and Kilkenny out in Pearse Stadium. You've Nolan Park being used there as well. You've Tullamore being used if Offaly are in it. So why can't it be used for the football? That's a question that the Leinster Council need to answer in the next few seasons.
Absolutely. And maybe the last thing on this, because I do agree, like, I think, yeah, like the Leinster final in Croke Park, yeah, fair enough, maybe keep that. But every other game, yeah, I think, and I think maybe we should look at other provinces and do a home and away rule even. And maybe even put Dublin back into Parnell Park. I'm not entirely sure, but there definitely needs to be a lot more done in regards to that. But like the Ladies Football Championship, for example, and their provincial championships, like they're obviously a lot different to the Men's Football Championships. Like seeded based off of, I think, just Division 1 and 2 teams. So, say, for example, last year in the Leinster Ladies Football Championship, it was Dublin, Meath and Laois, and they all went into group stages, and then the top two went into a final. Is that something maybe they should look at, really? Because even like when you're having, for example, Galway beating London last week, and I know at the same time, like as I've said previously, the exposure for these teams is good to a certain extent to get the opportunity to play bigger teams. But at the same time, if they could start seeding the lens, the provincial championships, I think that might start helping a lot of things. What do you think?
I think it would be as well. I think it would be a great move to do. But at the same time, someone actually mentioned this. I think it was Daryl Connor from the Sideline View actually mentioned this point that if the GAA are going to take advice from the ladies football, then it will downgrade their kind of confidence and things like that in a way. That they'll say that, look, we don't want to be taking advice off the LGFA because they're a lesser organisation than us. And look, I think it's time to do so. I really think it is. Like this year, actually, in the Leinster Championship, you have Kildare, Laois, Meath and Dublin. And to be fair, Kildare and Meath are actually, you know, doing well with the seeding. Kildare were the intermediate championship last year in the LGFA, and they won that championship, and they won Division 2 this year, and have won, I don't know how many games in a row as well, other than a draw against Tyrone in the league this season. And they've gained a bit of confidence, and they're moving into a game against Dublin now, I think, a week or 2 weeks' time. And they have confidence, and they have players coming back into the team now that usually would be abroad, but are now playing football, the likes of Roisin Byrne, Lara Kerr, and all them. And that comes with confidence. So I think it wouldn't be a bad idea for Leinster to do this. So as the championship stands, so it would be the senior teams. So I guess it would be Meads, Westmead and Laois in the Leinster Championship with Dublin, and then the rest into an intermediate Leinster Championship. I'd imagine that would be the team, because Kildare are Division 3 now. So yeah, I think that would work. I honestly think that would work. But the Leinster Council have to do something, or is the Leinster Championship just going to die of debt? And yeah, home and away agreements, that's another thing that needs to be looked at as well. But they need to be looking into these solutions rather than just sitting back and watching Dublin waltz through every game. And I've seen somebody from the Leinster Council actually say that the Leinster Championship is alive and kicking. Lads, look at the result today. Like, that's the second best team in Leinster coming up against Dublin, and they get hammered by double digits. Like, what are you expecting to happen the next day against Offaly? Seriously. So it's, no, I think they need to stop with these stupid comments and come up with solutions to try and fix the Leinster Championship, rather than saying, oh, everything's okey-dokey, everything's okay. It's clearly not okay. Look at the results. So, yeah they need to do something.
Yeah, like, and to be fair, when I heard that quote as well, like, the first thing I thought of was Leonardo DiCaprio and Wolf of Wall Street, you know, like that kind of vibe, that type of thing, like, you know, like, just absolutely mad altogether. You know, you kind of nearly admire the you know, like, actually going and saying that, like, to have the nerve to actually go and say that is just, yeah, it's absolutely mental, to be honest. Garrett says Leinster final shouldn't even be held in Croke Park. Not that they need it, but it's an unfair advantage for the Dubs. League finals, Leinster finals, and All Ireland quarterfinals, semi-final, finals should be the only senior football games in Croke Park. Also, Tailteann semi-final and finals as well. It is a fair point. You know, it is a fair point. I think the problem again, though, is just the, because even when you are getting 27,000, which, you know, looks very empty in Croke Park, there aren't too many other stadiums in Leinster that can accommodate that. Like, if there was a 40,000 seater stadium in Leinster, or 45,000 seater stadium in Leinster, then it would be absolutely perfect. But because there isn't that sometimes is the issue. But I would be all for it, in fairness, like a Leinster final in Nolan Park, or you know, like, obviously Newbridge is getting redeveloped right now in Kildare. Maybe that could be a future venue. I don't know, but it's definitely something maybe they should look at, in fairness. But yeah, so look, Dublin win, and I suppose we don't really learn too much about it, in all honesty, from either both Dublin and Meath. The team they will be playing in the semi-final is Offaly, and Offaly beat Laois 213-118. You kind of nearly feel sorry for Offaly a little bit, having to now go in and play Dublin in a Leinster semi-final, when Offaly are actually lower ranking in the league as well. So it's just, the whole thing is just a bit of a mess, isn't it? But great win for Offaly, in fairness. I backed Laois to come through this. I thought Laois would come in a bit better form, a bit more confidence. But fair play to Offaly, a really, really resounding win in the end.
Yeah, and they needed this win, to be fair. The young players that they do have, like Jack Bryan as Keith O'Neill, scored 1-3 last night, which was a really good tally from him. Dylan Hyland did well, and Jordan Hayes scored a goal to seal the game. I suppose the red card for James Kelly in the first half, it kind of sealed Laois's fate. They were level at halftime. I think it was 1-5 to 8 points, but as soon as Offaly got two goals within 3 minutes, it was game up. And Offaly won this game, and fair play to them. But then at the same time, we're going to go back in 2 weeks' time on this podcast, and we're going to go back to the same arguments. What can be done with the Leinster Championship rather than can Offaly cause a shock? We know the results of Offaly Dublin, and we're 2 weeks out from them again. So, like, it's in that situation. It's a poor situation to be in. Look, well done to Offaly, and it was a great confidence booster to get a win over your Midlands rivals, and the rivalry between Laois and Offaly, because they're on the same level, it's a good rivalry, and it really is. And fair play to Offaly for getting over the line. But at the same time, I kind of feel sorry for the players, for youngsters like Cormac Egan, Jack Bryant, and going to Croke Park. And they're inevitably going to get on the end of hammering in 2 weeks' time. And ultimately, we just have to watch.
Yeah, I'm picking at straws here, but maybe they'll look at Meath in the first half and they'll think, you know, maybe if we had taken our chances a little bit better. But the worry is Dublin played poor, you know, and they're not always going to play that poorly. So, but look, I mean, fair play to Offaly. Like, obviously, Jack Bryan's 3 points, Keith O'Neill with 1-3, Rory McNamee with a point, Johnny Hayes with a goal as well. Like, ultimately, huge, huge results from an Offaly perspective. Like, after what has been a bit of a turbulent season for Declan Kelly's men, so that will really sort of stead the ship a little bit. And for Laois, look, they'll go into the Tailteann Cup probably as one of the dark horses. It is a setback, but at least for them, they get to go into the Tailteann Cup, and they're not going to be on the receiving end of what's going to come in the semi-finals. But yeah, like, I suppose for Laois, they do have the Tailteann Cup still to look forward to.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose one of the main reasons they did lose the game was the red card in the first half. I have to see it on the Sunday game later. Obviously, there was nothing shown in this game, only I think Jordan Hayes' goal during the Sunday game bulletin today. So I didn't see the red card for James Kelly. Let me know in the comments let Aaron know. In fact, if it was a harsh red card, but that kind of, I think it was after 20 minutes and it just set Laois back. And look, they'll go into the Tailteann Cup. They've under a month to prepare for us. I think they'll do well enough, and they could easily win it. Like, at the same time, again, Down are in this competition, and they struck 8 goals past them in that very competition as well last season. So Laois will want to brush that out of their memories and go into this competition. But to be fair, like, Justin McNulty is a good coach, so like he'd be well able to set up this team for the Tailteann Cup. And I think Laois could have a decent enough campaign in the competition.
Absolutely. Looking at the other side of the Leinster Championship draw, this is probably where certainly some of the games were more interesting. Kildare 16 points, Wicklow 112. I think probably in terms of what happened on the pitch, this was probably maybe the biggest sort of talking points really from the weekend. Kildare obviously going down to 14 men. Kevin Flynn getting sent off in the first half. Kevin Feely playing an absolute stormer. 7 points from him in total, an absolute classic from Kevin Feely. And Kildare were comfortable, even though they had a man less. Like, they were managing the league quite well. Then out of nowhere, a bit of bizarre play at the back. Wicklow managed to get a penalty. Ushie McGrainer slots it away. The game is level. Wicklow then are on the back foot, but then out of nowhere, they win the ball back. They then have a chance to win the game, and the shot ends up going wide. And then Kildare go down the other end, and Jack Sargent pops it over the bar, and Kildare win it. Wicklow, 29 years since they were last in a Leinster semi-final. They might never get a better chance. I mean, this was, yeah, like, not a, you won't want to see this back if you're a Wicklow player, fan, management, because a hard one to take. But look, you do have to give Kildare credit. We've obviously, you know, criticised Kildare quite a bit on this podcast this year, and probably rightly so, given their performances. But, and they nearly threw this away. But to be fair, they managed to find a way to get the win, which was, which, look, you do have to credit them for.
a massive win for them. And considering Wicklow had that last chance at the end, and it went agonizingly wide. And at that time, when Jack Sargent got the winner, actually Kildare were down to 13 men. Kevin Flynn got the red card, and then there was a black card at the end as well for the penalty. So, like that is a huge opportunity for Wicklow, and I don't think they'll get a better opportunity than that. And I think for the goal, for Oisin McGrainer's goal, actually, I was watching it because it was half time in the Camogie game. It's just going to go to the second half. And I listened to Aaron Curran on commentary a GA go, and he said that penalty typified Kildare's season. Like, they were going swimmingly in the game, then out of nowhere, something happens. And it was just a matter, will they manage it properly, or will they capitulate like they have in previous games? But to be fair to Kildare, they got the win. They made the right decision at the end with Jack Sargent fisting the ball over the bar, and they got the win. Fair play to them to do that. And it was a brilliant win for them. But for Wicklow, like, what a chance to win. And I'm not entirely sure who the guy was missing it, but even like it kind of just trickled over the line and wise. Like, you're thinking, could you even belt it? Like, worst case scenario, goes over the bar. Best case scenario, it ends in. So yeah, it's just the regrets, isn't it? It really is. And it's just unfortunate for Wicklow because they put so much into the game. But ultimately, Kildare, there were 3 points up, but to them more, but the madness at the end, they win it in the end, and probably deservedly so. But you have to give them huge credit because they got a setback at the end. They could have easily folded with 13 men. They didn't. They got through to the semi-final. And I think this is the win that they'll need. A bit of confidence to go into the semi-final against Louth. And it's something that Kildare would have needed. But for Wicklow, they'll go into the Tapster Cup with a bit of confidence that they could pull a surprise like a leash. But Aaron, that is a huge opportunity to get to Leinster semi-final. And will they get an opportunity like that again? I'm not sure.
Yeah, because like, will Kildare be as poor as this next year? Probably not. And then, you know, if you end up on the same side of the draw as a Dublin, then, you know, that's game over as well. So, yeah, it's absolute heartbreak from a Wicklow perspective. And in that last chance as well, he could have hung on to the ball. He could have ran closer to goal. There was players around them as well. Like, they only needed a point. They didn't need the goal. And it was just... it was just inexperience, complete inexperience in that moment, and complete panic. And you know, they knew, like, as soon as they missed that, like, it almost just gave Kildare that bit more confidence that, right, we're going to take our chance and opportunity. And to be fair to Kildare, they've probably been there in those kind of games more so than Wicklow, and I think ultimately that's what made the difference. A few comments here earlier from KO Boxing, who said it was at the Kildare game today and they should have won. But almost threw it away at the end and let Wicklow back into the game. Well, thank God we duck it out. Kevin Feely and Niall Kelly were class. Yeah, shout out to Niall Kelly as well. Actually, he had a very, very good game. And this one here as well. Feely is the best player Kildare have had in the last 20 years. So there you go. Yeah, I mean, look, he was absolutely brilliant from a Kildare perspective. Could this be the kick in Kildare season that they need? Could, you know, there was another comment here as well from Gaelic guy who says all of a sudden Kildare with a good chance of Sam McGuire football. They play Loud next, and I mean, Loud beat them earlier in the year, but you wouldn't say the gap between them and Loud is that big, so it's not impossible that they don't end up back in the All-Ireland series.
There was no question about the quality in Kildare. That was always there. Like, yeah, attack-wise, particularly with Kevin Feely, Niall Kelly as well, who've been around the block for a few years. And Derek Heron got 2 points as well today. Jimmy Hyland, I'm not sure, is he going to come back to full fitness for the game against Loud? But I think it is the confidence booster that they needed, because like, things were starting to go wrong and they needed just a win to get the monkey off their back. Like, they looked like they were going to get the win against Cork and Parky Keeve. Then Tommy Walsh scores the goal. They don't get the win there. Against Donegal, they get a goal through Alex Byrne. They're going to cause a surprise there. Donegal still go on and win it. The low game, other than Aaron Masterson's performance in midfield, it was just a bit flat in that last game of the season. And I just think it was just a bit of luck, that shot that went wide for Wicklow. It might be just a bit of luck that Kildare needed, and just to get them over the line and into the Sam McGuire Cup. And I did say it that despite them going down to Division 3, I still fancy Kildare because there is a fire in them to get into the Sam McGuire Cup. And there's more on the line for them, more so arguably, to Kildare than there is for Loud. So, like, it's all to play for now for Kildare in 2 weeks' time. But it's going to be a difficult game. But I think Kildare could actually turn Loud over. So, it's a big win for Kildare. It's a massive confidence booster. And they badly needed us and they got us.
Yeah, and speaking of Louth, they beat Wexford 4-10 to 15 points. Sam Mulroy with 2-4, Kieran Downey with 2 goals in there as well. Big win for Louth. Obviously, Wexford were coming in with a lot of momentum, having, you know, with recent results and everything else. But to be fair to Louth, they dug it out. They got the win, 4 goals. In the end, relatively comfortable from looking at the score on Scorebio. Obviously, we'll see the highlights on the Sunday game a little bit later. But overall, looked fairly comfortable from a Louth perspective. And back into a Leinster semi-final they go.
Yeah, exactly. I was watching this and covering my eye for the Dublin Meath game, to be honest, Dublin Meath. And the big screen wasn't much happening. So I actually took the eye to the Wexford and Louth game. And actually, in the first half, Wexford were a much better team. And they should have led. But then Louth get a goal through Kieran Downey, I think, in the first half. And that kind of was the confidence booster that Louth needed going to the dressing room. Then Wexford take a few leads and they seem to be getting a grip on the game. Then Louth get a penalty because of a drag down. Sam Mulroy tucks that away. Kieran Downey again gets the third goal. And yeah, they concede another penalty, which Mulroy converts after that. So look, Wexford could have won this game. They could have. And I think this scoreline flatters Louth, to be honest. I think it was closer than the scoreline did suggest. Just looking out of the corner of my eye there. But Louth got the win. They needed the win. But what I will say about Louth, that this was brought up to me earlier in the day by a fella that texted me something. Louth, and I calculated this, in 10 games this year, 2024, in all competitions for Louth, they've scored 20 goals, which is quite impressive. So they know how to hit the back of the net. Like Kieran Downey hitting 2 today, Sam Mulroy obviously hitting the 2 goals as well. I counted actually, they hit 3 goals in the O'Byrne Cup, 4 goals obviously today in the Championship, and 13 goals in the league, including 6 against Fermanagh. So they know where the back of the net is, and they're well able to take their goal chances, and that will go a long way for them to potentially get to their second Leinster final in a row. But a good win for Louth. But for Wexford, look, it was the goals that killed them. Other than that, they were well in this game. And there will be a few regrets with Wexford, but at the same time, they'll go in with a bit of positivity into the Talton Cup, thinking like Leash and Wicklow, they might cause a surprise here or there.
Yeah, big win for Louth and fairness. And as you said, Wexford go into the Talton Cup. But again, there is, you know, I think the great thing about the Talton Cup is you probably do have so many sides that are more or less at an even spectrum. And I think that's what makes that competition so exciting this year. So very much looking forward to it. Moving across to the Ulster Championship, there was 2 games here to discuss. First up, Armagh 3-11, Fermanagh 9 points. Fairly comfortable for Armagh. I was keeping an eye on this a little bit earlier on. Rian O'Neill obviously back. He kicked the point. Jardy O'Byrnes with 1-1. Connor Turbitt with 1-1 as well. Stephen Campbell with 1-2. All in all, very, very comfortable. I think Armagh were 3-4 to 2 points up at one stage in the opening 20-25 minutes. So this was a game that was never, ever in doubt. And a much needed bounce back for Armagh after that defeat to Donegal a couple of weeks ago.
Massive win, and it showed in some stages Armagh are back, but then the points that linger at the back of the head for Armagh that you have to produce it at the big stage, the quarter final, the Ulster final, the quarter final, the All-Ireland, that is, the Ulster final, league finals. You have to produce that kind of form, and we know Armagh have quality. They showed it today. They put Fermanagh away at ease, really, and this game was over within, 10 minutes early on today. Again, even our good friend Johnny Murta from the JMAC podcast as well was even saying to us earlier that, this game is over. And this was about 10, 15 minutes gone. So, I think Armagh were comfortable winners in this one. And a bit of a confidence denter for Fermanagh, more or less, because there would have been high hopes going into this game, thinking that they could have caught for Armagh the hop. But they'll go into the Talton Cup now. They have less than a month, I would say, thereabouts to recover from this. They'll go into the Talton Cup as... Again, dark horses, I suppose, to win the competition, look at their scores and things like that from the Allianz League. But for Armagh, they'll go into the semi-final against Down. And to be honest, even Armagh, I don't think they'll mess this up against Down. Surely not. I think they'll get into the Ulster final. It's just a matter of, can they produce this sort of really good form in a big stage like an Ulster final? And that's the good place to start.
Absolutely, yeah. And they'll be taking on Down, who beat Antrim 13 points to 9. As you were saying, Saturday evening, this was the game, sit down and watch it. Probably, could have had any other game on. At least this game was a little bit in the melting pot going down the home stretch, to be fair. alongside other matches. But yeah, look, I mean, it wasn't a great game. Down didn't play well. Antrim had chances to win it, and they just didn't take them. I thought Roy McQuillan looked decent for Antrim, for Down. Like, obviously, Pat Haveron comes off. Oisin Savage looked quite lively with 3 points. But overall, for Down, they get the win and they get over the line. But you kind of would be looking at it and thinking, them versus Armagh, like, you couldn't see Down turning over Armagh, surely.
No, I don't think you would. It's a 41 because in Division 3, you looked at Down's performances and you would have said, okay, they're well on course to cause us a rise and cause a scalp against Armagh. But look at the performance last night, they looked poor enough, to be honest with you. I just think Antrim, there was the oomph out of them, like, in a way. Like, in fairness, like, me tried to have a go today. There was a few other teams. Wicklow tried to have a go and the other teams. I don't think Antrim in that game even had a go against Down, which was the most disappointing thing about it. When they got the ball, they weren't quick enough in the counter-attack. And the chances they missed as well. And I think it was an opportunity missed, really, for Antrim, because Down were very poor last night. And they just didn't take the opportunity, unfortunately, for them. But the injuries that they sustained, that's maybe an excuse. It definitely, like, I think one of the Rory McCanns from St. Mary's, Aha Gallen, I think, was out with appendicitis. There was another few players. There was a player that went off with an ACL injury as well. And there was a few hamstring injuries. And Andy McAtee, that's, like, apparently there was an injury before throwing, according to the BBC commentators. And Antrim didn't actually have a guy to replace him in the 26. That's a tough situation. So so that needs to be taken into consideration. But at the same time, it's like, even the Man of the Match award, Philly McMahon awarded it to Paddy McBride, Antrim's key talisman. But then again, Down shackled him well, and Philly McMahon was struggling for a Man of the Match otherwise. So it just showed you that it wasn't a great game. It really wasn't, Aaron. And you could have put this in on Sunday, could have put Armagh for Bala on Saturday night. But look, that's scheduling and things like that. Would go forever and a day talking about that. That's a discussion for another day. But to be honest, I was actually tempted to switch to Leinster and La Rochelle in the rugby, because this game was a bit dire.
Yeah, no, it probably was. Or definitely was. And yeah, I'm not really into rugby, to be honest. But yeah, maybe turning over to that or the Premier League or something like that maybe would have been a better shout. But in the end, Down get the victory. Most important thing for them to get over the line, but yeah, probably not the most prettiest win, in fairness. Matt O says Down versus Armagh being played at Park Esler would be some crack in a fair venue, in my opinion, even though it would technically give Down home advantage. Would probably make it more competitive, but I actually don't know where that semi-final is going to be played. Maybe a neutral venue or something like that. Hell, you probably should do it in provincial championships or home and away rule and everything else. Column says the ref in the Loud Wexford game had an absolute shocker. Yeah, obviously I didn't see any of that game. Did you catch any poor refereeing decisions from what you saw?
The key decisions were the penalties, and I think they were both penalties. So I don't know what the commentator is on about there, and the Gaelic guy say Clonus there. Yeah, I think that's probably the most realistic venue for Down and Armagh. I would expect Armagh to win that game given Down's performance last night, but then again, maybe Down were, you know, not showing Ed Carroll's star man last night. I'm not sure what was the plan there. But look, you would expect Armagh to get over the line, but Down did have to improve fourfold to provide any hits to Armagh.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll touch on some of the Camogie action. I did miss some of the games, obviously, because I was, as I said, I was a little bit late coming into Croke Park watching Kildare, Wicklow and the Liverpool game, but yeah, we won't mention that. Tipperary get the win against Galway, 113 to 15 points. Massive win for Tipperary, and a great game from what I've heard anyway.
Brilliant game, yeah. And the shot accuracies for both the teams was over 70% as well. And I think this was an enjoyable game from first minute to last. Galway started off the better. Cary Dolan with some good points. Ailish O'Reilly, I think, got 3 points from playing the first half alone, which was very good showing. And then Galway got some sort of an injury, I think, in the middle of the field. Tipperary gets sideline ball, and from that sideline ball, they get the goal through Karen Kennedy. And what a performance from Karen Kennedy, actually. She was centre back for most of the season and last season for Tipperary. She moves into the full forward line, you know, today, and produced an outstanding performance with 1-3 from play. And helped Emer McGrath and all them up front for Tipperary. And helped provide the shock. And Niamh Mallon seemed to get Galway back into the game. The former Down Camogie player with 3 points on the bench, and Niamh Nolan got a point as well. And you were thinking, okay, Galway are showing your experience. But then Karen Blair comes up, trumps with the winner. And brilliant win for Tipperary. It's their first league win in 20 years. So it was a massive win for Tipperary, and more so as well for the game of Camogie, because obviously there's been the trio of Galway, Kilkenny and Cork. They've been ruling the game more than anything. And to have Tipperary win the league, obviously, in this big game against Galway today, and have Waterford reach the All-Ireland final last year, it's only going to be good for Camogie. And I think it's a brilliant win for everybody involved. Congratulations to Tipperary. But for Galway, they still have some players like Niamh Kilkenny's only come back to full match fitness. Niamh Mallon played her first in full role, really, for Galway coming off the bench today. And you have Ailish O'Reilly in good form as well. Carrie Dolan was good on the freeze. Orla and Siobhan McGrath were very good, Aoife Donoghue. So Galway will have a lot of positives going to the championship. But for Tipperary to win a Munster championship last season and now the league title, we could be seeing the 14 that we've all been crying out for Camogie. It was a brilliant day and a brilliant win for Tipperary. Congratulations to all involved.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, the first league title in 20 years as well. So massive congratulations to them. Karen Kennedy with 1-3. Eimear McGrath with 8 points as well. Just looking on Scorbio there. So fair play to them. Can they go and win the All-Ireland now, do you reckon? Can they go and do it, considering they've gone and won the league title?
That's the million-dollar question. I think, honestly, Kilkenny have still a lot to prove. Like, Aoife Doyle was one of the top scorers for playing this division. Steffi Fitzgerald as well. I don't know what's the story with Miriam Walsh. Is she going to come back into contention? And obviously, still have Cork as well. Like, Cork still have their main players. I just think they were a bit off in the league. They will come back into in the championship. They're getting adjusted with the new manager tactics. Joe Manley is in charge there of the Cork team. But you still have the likes of Ashley Thompson, Amy O'Connor, Oz Tiki Aroni, Libby Coppinger, all them. And Fiona Keating, so, and Saoirse McCarthy as well. So you still have some good players in Cork. So I think, honestly, you have five teams there, Waterford as well, because Beck Carton and Eve Rocket are doing well in this league campaign. You have five teams there that have a realistic chance of potentially causing a good season and winning an All-Ireland title, and include a Tipperary. Like, if Tipperary, I'm thinking about this from a point of view. Like, Cate Devine is going to come back in May for Tipperary, and that's going to be just before the All-Ireland campaign begins in June. If Cate Devine hits form, if Eimear McGrath hits form, if Karen Kennedy is usually well for Tipperary, and you've other players stepping in, like Karen Blair as well, and Claude and McIntyre, I do think Tipperary have a huge chance of winning the All-Ireland. They really do. I do think the favourites at this present moment are Cork, but we'll have to see in the next few weeks. But Tipperary can still cause a shock, and it should be a very interesting Camogie Championship. It's probably the most exciting Camogie Championship in terms of contenders for it that we've had in many years.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, it doesn't seem like a sure thing, which is absolutely what you want to see. The Division 1B final really went down to the wire. Dublin 2-10, Wexford 2-8. Grace O'Shea with a late goal there for Dublin to win it right at the death. To absolutely snatch the victory there. I suppose we were speaking on your own show during the week about how Wexford were free scoring. They were beating teams quite comfortable. Dublin were coming in as underdogs. But yeah, what a result for Dublin, and a huge win for Dublin Camogie.
Massive results, yeah. And a brilliant performance from Grace O'Shea, and to get that winning goal as well. It looked like Wexford were going to win it late on with that Ciara O'Connor goal. And Ciara scored 2-7, and she was the top scorer for playing from overall in the league. So well done to her. But it looked like it was the Ciara O'Connor show. She was going to win this game on her own, really, for Wexford. But then that Grace O'Shea goal hits the back of the net. And Wexford could have easily won it at the end as well. And this was a goal-getting game, no doubt about it. But I suppose Wexford's over-reliance on Ciara probably caught up with them. She scored 2-7 on the day, and I think Laura Dempsey was the only other scorer for Wexford. But for Dublin, brilliant performances from Ashley Marr from centre back. Ashley O'Neill had a decent enough game as well. Grace O'Shea with 1-3 on the day. So yeah, brilliant result for Dublin, and a brilliant result for Dublin to move into the Leinster Championship and potentially to the All-Ireland series as well. And they got relegated from 1A last year. They've gone up with the first time of asking against a decent enough Wexford side. So all's good for Dublin, and a brilliant turnaround considering they did lose to Wexford at the start of the season, and Wexford scored 12 goals against Antrim in the league as well. So, like, that was a brilliant result for Dublin yesterday, and well done to them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, like, do you reckon Dublin could make a bit of a push at Leinster, or Kilkenny too strong, in your opinion?
I think Kilkenny are probably too strong, yeah. It's going to be interesting, actually, in Leinster. Like, Westmeath beat Derry in the 2A final today. They actually look very good with Megan Dowdle scoring two goals. So they might have a say at potentially causing a shock. I think Offaly have gone a small bit backwards there. So I think, honestly, if you look at Dublin West for Kilkenny, if you look at them three, Kilkenny are probably the front runners at the moment. Aoife Dáil is in good form. So is Steffi Fitzgerald. Miriam Walsh, I'm not sure what's the story. Obviously, Katie Power's in good form. And you have a new manager, Pat Chapclear, in charge there. So he'd want to win a Leinster Championship in his first Championship outing. So, yeah, I think Kilkenny are still favourites with Dublin and Wexford. And maybe Westmeath, in terms of a shock, could have another say in telling a story.
Yeah, just looking at some of the other big results. Leash 2-7, Armagh 14 points, and Wicklow 10 points. Tyrone 3-16. So big results there for both Armagh and for Tyrone. Yeah, I suppose before we finish up, in terms of player of the week, moment of the week, what would you look towards? I mean, probably moment of the week really was probably Tipperary winning the league title, in fairness, but probably not a lot really to discuss in terms of the football. But what you reckon?
I think, honestly, I'll kind of split it into two for Camogie football. For the football, for the moment of the week, I'm going to go for Jack Sargent's point for Kildare. I think that's a vital score for Kildare in the context of this season. It might be crucial for them in keeping Sam Maguire's status for them. For player of the week, Stephen Campbell for Armagh, 1-2 from play, brilliant performance from him. And then in the Camogie, I think player of the week has to be Karen Kennedy. 1-3, what a performance from her. Megan Dowdle, another honourable show from Westmeath, and so is Ciara O'Connor from Wexford. But yeah, I'd have to go for Karen Kennedy. And moment of the week, Tipperary win their first league title in 20 years. Brilliant win for them. And Westmeath as well for beating Derry. Derry is senior side, Westmeath intermediate. So good win for them. And ultimately, the two games in Croke Park before Dublin and Meath in football were good encounters and very good right up to the final whistle. So good to see too.
Yeah, it was Westmeath 4-8, Derry 16 points. So, big up to Westmeath there as well. Yeah, in terms of my moment of the week, not really a lot to choose from, in all honesty. Probably maybe the Jack Sargent point probably as well. There's really nothing else to start. You know, the player of the week, I'd probably go Kevin Feely. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. Really, really good performance from him. So you'd probably look towards him. Like from a Dublin perspective, Paul Mannion played well. But really, I suppose as Lee Keegan said, like you could have picked out any Dublin player in that starting 15. In fairness, this commenter here said the punch and the Antrim match. Yeah, I mean, look, probably not a moment of the week, but at least it was some bite and some fisticuffs on the sideline, which certainly made great telly. You don't want to see that. You don't want to encourage that, obviously. But I suppose that was a little bit bizarre, actually, wasn't it, just on that?
Yeah, it was just a bizarre game, more than anything. It was just poor football out of the field. It was very slow quality. But there was a fight after the parade involving Owen Murdoch and Joseph Finnegan, both of them resulting in yellow cards before the ball was even thrown in. And then there was Kevin McKenna, I think the cornerback for Antrim, I think his name is.
Yeah.
Did he kind of see throw? Like, what on earth was
it? I think, yeah.
Kevin Keane, yeah. Like, what was he thinking? He was on a yellow card. Like, honestly, I think he would have ruined the game if he actually got a second yellow. But look, it was just a bizarre moment. And then the punch leading up to the dressing room was even more bizarre. So, yeah, there was actually more kung fu fighting and UFC fighting than there was actual good football on the pitch. So, kind of strange.
Yeah, look, it was, I don't know, maybe he was preparing himself for UFC 300. I don't really know. I don't really know what he was doing. But yeah, like, you know, like I probably would have given him a yellow card for that haircut in fairness, but look, that's how it is. Gaelic Ice's player of the week, Rory Grugan. If you watched the game, he was brilliant. Yeah, I'll have to watch that a little bit later on, but it's probably a good mention in fairness. But look, I suppose we'll go ahead and wrap this up here. There'll be more content out during the week. There will be a vlog of the Dublin and Meath game tomorrow, which maybe mightn't actually be the best view, and maybe I won't put it together. I don't know, I'll see. But there will also be All-Ireland Hurling predictions and preview shows for both football and hurling. The championship next week, to be fair, in both football and hurling, there's some cracking games on So I think next weekend there's really going to be a lot to discuss, thankfully, and we'll be discussing more so what happens on the pitch rather than off the pitch. So yeah, Matthew, cheers for coming on. Make sure to check out the Gaelic Statsman podcast when you get a chance. And yeah, anyone who tuned in, if you could hit the like button and subscribe, that would be great. We'll speak to you all again.